Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. You know the deal. My name is Gerald Riley, and guess what? My trophy wife, my girlfriend, my rib is in the studio live with me today, so you know your boy is hyped up. Please welcome Mrs. Riley.
I'm back, y'all. I'm excited.
Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. Now, listen, I'm excited today because I have a personal friend, you know him, in the city. Please welcome Mr. Bishop, Dr. Grand. What's your name, sir?
I forgot, Curtis Crocker.
That's it.
And my mama named me Junior.
Dr. Curtis Crocker.
Amen.
How you been doing, Doc?
I have been well, to be honest with you. I can't complain about anything. Life is good. You know, God is good. I can put it that way because as a believer in the Almighty God, I depend totally on Him. And if I'm going to live for Him, I can die for Him as well. So I'm doing really well.
Outstanding. Now, we have a lot to talk about in a short time. You have something coming up. We're going to get into that,
yeah. The
whole dynamics of what we have going on. And today's Sunday conversation is entitled Reflecting on Dr. King and His Legacy. I'm going to say that again because it's so very important that you understand the importance of a show and a day like today. Sunday conversation is called Reflecting on Dr. King and His Legacy. So, Dr. Crocker,
Yes. Personal
question.
Yeah.
What does Dr. King mean to you personally?
You know, one of his quotes is, because it continues to live today, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I think that is so apropos to where we are right now, and that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I continue to pray and hope that we are able to see this one day in our lifetime. I think that we're in a season now that we're struggling within our community, within our culture, when it comes to prejudices and racial disparities and things of that nature. So I believe that was a man before his time, because we're still struggling in a lot of those areas. But I would love to see my children and my grandchildren being able to live in a community, in a country, in a world that we are not judged by the color of our skin, but what and how we do and how we prepare ourselves for our next.
Hey, man, you said something then. I remember talking to retired State Representative Kevin Smyron, and he would say all the time, I don't know if it's verbatim, but he would say, you have to plant trees in the shades that you will never bask in.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And so it's important with what you said.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of things going on in the world and society today. And so my next question is, why do you think it is important to celebrate Martin Luther King Day?
Because, you know, one of the things that his purpose, when you think about Martin Luther King's purpose, it was to end racial segregation, to counter prejudices in these United States of America through peaceful protest and non-violence. I think it's important for us to make sure that we are teaching one another how to love one another.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus said.
Who said this?
You are my brother's keeper.
Jesus said this.
Jesus.
I heard of him.
And I know you have. And I think one of the things that what he was attempting to do was use a holistic approach to fighting racial injustice. I believe that if we want our communities to get better, we better start calling on the name of Jesus. And I'm not trying to get, you know.
We can have a little church in here.
Absolutely. And I thank God for the opportunity to talk about this, because at some point in our lives, when we begin to go back to the basics of understanding It's time for us to move on from childish things. And I think that it's so important for the message of King to go forth, but we got to be able to allow the one that created us to help us to move forward in that arena.
Come on, man. Come on. Now, I have a list of questions, but I'm going to skip some questions because I really want to drill down to this final question. Why do you have a memorial to celebrate?
Oh, very easy. That's very easy.
Dr. King. And I want to talk about, first of all, why do you have a memorial coming up to celebrate Dr. King and the award?
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about the person, but let's talk about the award and what's going on that day. So give us the date, give us the time, give us the location, and give us the reason. And if you want to, the speaker.
Yeah. Tomorrow at 12 noon at Metropolitan Baptist Church, this is the church where I pastor. For the last 37, 38 years, we've been having the ecumenical service to commemorate Martin Luther King. What does commemorate mean? To remember his work, to remember what he has done, remember his messages. Why do we do it? So that we can allow the community to come and remind them of the importance of what the work he was trying to accomplish and the work we're still trying to accomplish is still alive today, the King dream. If we're going to fight racial injustice, we have to remind ourselves that we're not living in a perfect world. We're not living in a place where people care about other folk like they should. Are we really our brother's keeper? Some would say that we are. Some would parade around as if we are. But in actuality, we are not. So that's one of the reasons why we do this. It's tomorrow at 12 noon. The speaker is going to be Virgil Miller, the newly elected president of AFLAC. So that's going to be an outstanding message. We're looking forward to it. I know that people are coming because they want to hear this message. And we need to hear a message of hope and encouragement. It's time for us to be encouraged. Our community, I believe, needs to be encouraged. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, you mentioned something about the humanitarian award. People, he's one of the ones who won that award for the work that he has done in the community. Overflow.
Past winner, Gerald Riley, past winner. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out, Overflow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But at the end of the day, people like yourself who do not mind working in the community, you're not going to get your name called out in a lot of places. However, we call out your name at the during this service because we try to find people within the community who don't mind working for the least of these. The Bible says, come on, somebody.
Come on.
That if you do it for the least of these, you've done it for me. So that is why I promote or created the Humanitarian Award during this ceremony so that we can identify and celebrate those individuals who have gone that extra mile to bless other people. And we like to bless them during that day.
Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, the name of our Sunday conversation is called Reflecting on Dr. King and His Legacy. In the studio live, we have none other than Dr. Curtis Crocker of Metropolitan Baptist Church. Now, listen to me. What is the location of your event and time?
Yes, it's at 12 noon at 1633 Fifth Avenue. 12 noon, 1633 Fifth Avenue, Columbus, Georgia.
Let's come together and celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There's no admission. You don't have to pay to come in.
No.
Okay, we just want to get together and honor his legacy and all that he sacrificed. Because ultimately, he sacrificed his life.
Can I tell you a little bit? It's going to be a church service.
Come on.
You know, when you walk in there, you're going to hear some good gospel singing. You're going to hear some... there you go.
My shotgun.
No. You're going to hear some good gospel singing. You're going to hear a word. You're going to hear praying and you're gonna hear some Jesus. So that's what it's about.
Amen.
We don't compromise,
and we need it,
the church, just because we're having a movement or we're having something for the community to acknowledge someone who has been great in our lives. But at the end of the day, we're still gonna have some church.
Okay. Now this is a question. I don't know how you're gonna answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
But does Dr. King dream live on in today's world? It's kind of, I guess maybe it's a two-part question. I don't know.
And what do you think Dr. King will be proud of the work that we're trying to do? I think he'll be a little disappointed, to be honest with you. because now I think we have to identify some leaders who don't mind leading according to not only the scripture, but also leading according to the temperature of the culture, the temperature of the community, the nation. And we have to find some leaders who are not afraid to not only share the gospel, but tell the truth when it comes to issues within the community. Amen.
Amen.
So I think you'll be a little disappointed. And that's why I would like to say this. All you leaders who may be listening to this, you find someone that is energized and equip them, because the Bible says that we need to edify. Okay. Edify, which means helping people to grow, helping people to get to another level in Him. The word says, come up hither and I will show you to come the things to come hereafter. So after this, and I know that in this world that we're living in now, there are some things that we're not pleased with. There are some people that I believe need to grow, mature. We have to make sure that they understand who they are and how important
yes.
their lives are, not only to themselves, but the people that are coming behind them. And I think that we have a generation that does not understand that. I'm going to say this in public, and I know some people may not agree, but I think the church has failed a lot of people because we began to not focus on the future or the after this, but we began to focus on self, and we had a selfish agenda. It's time to move away from that, move from religion and get into a relationship with our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. C, how can we make that more personal in our community? How do you make it more personal in your ministry?
Amen. You have to make it intentional. In other words, my intentional goal is to make sure that everyone that God has put in my will, the people that I have to be a good steward over, to begin to teach them not only what's right and what's wrong, and make sure that we understand that sin is wrong. Okay. And I know people are saying this, man, if we're teaching and preaching. Yeah, absolutely. I'll go back to the Romans 1 type mentality that when we begin to think that sin is okay, we then forget what's intentional about our walk and our talk. So if we're going to talk it, we got to learn how to walk it as well. And we have to be an example for the little ones that are coming up behind us. Got to be intentional.
Yes, because we know what your personal, mm-hmm. you know, work is.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to thank you for what you do from the jailhouse to the church house.
Yeah, that is true. Thank you so much for that. You know, you mentioned that, the jail. My Lord, that is one of my passions. And right now, like for instance, at Muskogee County Jail, we've started inmate services programs where we have NAAA, we have Cure Violence, we've got fatherhood initiatives coming in, Goodwill, all these resources that can help people once they get out of the jail system, now they have an opportunity to live again. And it's up to them to make that choice. But at the end of the day, we're putting this information in front of them so when they do get out, they have a second chance at life.
Amen.
For the least of these.
Speaking of second chances, mm-hmm. in what way do you believe, Dr. Crocker, that we can honor Dr. King's dream in our daily lives today?
Oh, wow. That's an excellent question. Excellent question. I think one of the things that we can do is begin to involve ourselves in some civic organizations that are helping other people, volunteer, do some work, not just go home when you get off, do something a little bit.
Not just complain about what's going on
yeah,
in society.
Exactly. And what I call, you know, when we watch NFL, we call them what, armchair quarterbacks.
Right.
We have a lot of people who are complaining about what's going on. And they have some people who are trying to do something about it. So I'm proud of those organizations that try to do something about some of the things that that I guess the best way to say it, that we don't agree with within our society.
Right.
We have to have voices. We do have people in this community. I'm so proud of NAACP. I'm proud of other organizations that still have that urge to make a difference by
right.
using their voices. So with that being said, I'm encouraging everyone, the IMA, everyone, if there's a group that's out there that is going to promote what is right, and I want to say this, what is right, and we have to be careful how we align ourselves up with what is right versus just being an antagonist.
Well, let's do mm-hmm. that. Let's challenge those groups mm-hmm. to come to the event tomorrow
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
and celebrate Dr. King.
They'll be there.
Okay, what's the location, date, and time?
Once again, it's 12 noon tomorrow, 1633 Fifth Avenue. That is Metropolitan Baptist Church. And we're going to start. Well, listen, it starts at noon, but you may want to get there at 11:30. You can park down the street. We got a new parking lot built finally, and you can come and park there. But just come on out, because it's normally an event that is filled to capacity.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back. How crucial was the civil rights movement?
How crucial? Oh, my God. It was crucial then, and it's crucial now. Let me ask this, because I know it's redundant, but do you think that we're living in a society that everyone is treated fairly?
No.
No. Okay, so it's very crucial. We have to have those voices. When we, like, for instance, there were programs like, I can't think of it now, my God, I'm sorry, but it'll come to me in a minute. But there were programs that were designed to help people when they made choices, that you at least had at least one black being interviewed, okay? Or mm-hmm. someone of color being interviewed. Mm-hmm. So when we began to take away some of those programs, I know that we all got to be judged according to our merit and what we have learned.
Right, right.
We understand. But at the end of the day, there are still some organizations that need to be reminded that there are some people of color that can also perform in certain places and certain areas in which, you know, they may not be aware of.
Outstanding. Just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Dr. Crocker, and the name of our Sunday conversation is called Reflecting on Dr. King and His Legacy. Now, Doc, what valuable lessons have you learned from Dr. King's life and message?
Oh, and message.
Now I'm gonna answer this for my. I'm gonna answer this for myself. when I think of Dr. King, mm-hmm. I think of peace, a peace that passes all understanding.
That's right.
And be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Instead of concentrating so much on your problem or your situation, mm-hmm. just concentrate on God and be still and know that He is God.
Hmm.
That's what I've learned.
I hear you. And you know, one of the things in within that same vein that I have learned as well is that I asked the question, why, a couple of times. Why do you think the Lord is allowing this to happen in your life? What and why is He allowing you to go through some of the things that you're going through?
Mm-hmm.
What are the lessons that you're going to learn once it's all said and done? Now, the other why is, why do you exist?
Mm.
Why are you here? Why did God put you on this planet? What is your purpose in life? And I believe that Dr. King was trying to teach everyone these important lessons of life, of existence. I think, therefore I am. So if God has given you a mind to reason, then what is your existence for? Why are you thinking, and what are you thinking about? So it's important for all of us to understand that God has placed each and every one of us on this earth. He's designed us perfectly, perfectly. We are perfectly made in the image of Him, which means now we've got to know how to love.
Yes.
We've got to have some control.
Yes.
We've got to keep our anguish under control. We got to learn how to respect one another. We got to learn how to do these things. And once we're able to understand how we can find love and joy, that peace that you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, after you have suffered a while, there is a next, and He will finally settle us. So at some point in our lives, we've got to recognize what it is that God wants us to do, and then we put forth an intentional effort to make sure it gets done.
Outstanding. Now, Doug, this is a kind of a personal question.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do so much in the community, and we have the event going on tomorrow, and you know, then you know you at the ministry with the jail, then you at the ministry, you know, with the church and everything. So how do you balance your life between ministry and your personal life? What is your woosah? I tell people all the time, my woosah is definitely fishing.
Yeah.
Fishing, barbecuing, gardening, messing with my honeybees in the backyard. That's my woosah.
Yeah.
So how do you balance, and what's your woosah?
What's my woosah? A couple things, family.
Okay.
One of the things I love is my wife, my grandbabies, my children. I love to be around them, because when I'm around them, it gives me an opportunity to settle down and to recognize what's really, really important. If we're going to understand the divine order, God, family, church, my woosah is my family. Being able to hang around people. And you know what? There is an extended family like yourself. You
mm-hmm.
know, we can get together and do some things, you know, and to relax and have conversation and to love on each other. But at the end of the day, that's my woosah. That's how I find balance. And once you find that balance, guess what? I think everything, you know, kind of settles itself. But at the end, you know, I like to, for instance, last year, and then we're going to continue doing this. We go to, my wife and I take, destination trips. Just get out of town for a few days just to relax and to rekindle and to revive and to regenerate, that type of thing. So we're, that's my WUSA.
Now, I have a question that is not on my sheet, but if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Martin Luther King marched from Selma to Montgomery?
Selma to Montgomery, right.
Okay, now I want you to think about this. Mm-hmm. Most of the people, tennis shoes weren't popular back then.
No.
So you marched from Selma to Montgomery, most likely in a pair of dress shoes.
Proper dress shoes. Uh-huh.
Hard bottom shoes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my question to the audience.
And the opposition that he received.
And the opposition that he received.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matter of fact, not just Dr. King, but everybody else to march with him.
That's right. That's
and then, I don't believe Gatorade was invented then. They didn't have Gatorade back then, did they? Huh?
I don't know, man.
So, I said all that to say this. Uh-huh. A lot of people sacrifice a lot of things just for you and I, just to be able to be on this show talking about Dr. King and celebrating him tomorrow.
And that's a concern of mine as well, because I don't think that we really reflect on what was.
Have we forgotten?
I think that.
Well, Jones say, you must have forgot.
Well, hasn't been taught.
Okay,
hasn't been taught. And I think that a lot of this particular generation that are challenged with critical race theory and things like that, they're not going to be taught the important lessons that you and I may have learned when we were going to the schools,
right?
Our schools in our community. Now there's going to be some challenges, and now our children will be lacking in some areas in reference to that, the sacrifices that our culture have made because of the simple fact that they are not being taught. That's why it's incumbent upon us to continue to do the Martin Luther King services, to continue to do Black History Month or Black History Year, continue to do those things so that we can continue to help our young ones, our little ones, understand that, something? That was somebody who came before you that paved the way that you can have these rights.
Sacrificed a lot.
Don't squander it. Don't squander it. Operating in selfishness.
Come on, Doc. Mm-hmm. Come on, Doc. What you say? Mm-hmm. Now, Doc, the last question of the day is called the Marriage Minute.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talk about, we need advice on relationships, whether it be i.e. marriage, whether it be friendship, whether it be relationship with God, relationship with your enemy. We need a marriage relationship minute.
A marriage relationship minute. What you just mentioned, the relationship with God, relationship with enemies, and sometimes we have enemies in our existence because they help us to strive to be better, and you gotta, everybody need a Judas because it make you do better, keep you on your knees. I preached that one Sunday. People like, there's always going to be Judases in our lives. But as far as marriage is concerned, especially with your spouses, love your wives, love your husband, become friends, date your wife, date your husband. Make sure that they are a priority in your life. A lot of times people marry because they think that their biological clocks are ticking, or they're trying to achieve certain goals, or trying to be gain a financial status. It shouldn't be for that. Because the Bible says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And sometimes we will forget what's important to us because we're trying to get that piece of pie in the sky. Love your wife. Love your family.
Okay, great advice. Let's talk about the event going on tomorrow, the date and time. We're driving it home, Doc. We're driving it home.
I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. 12 o'clock tomorrow, 12 noon, Metropolitan Baptist Church, 1633 Fifth Avenue, Columbus, Georgia.
Who are we celebrating?
We're celebrating. We're here to, it's what we call a unity service. Martin Luther King, unity service.
Okay. Now, my beautiful girlfriend, my wife, my rib, she's going to close us out with a scripture.
Amen.
I'm going to close us out with Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a unity verse for believers.
Mm-hmm.
There is one body and one spirit,
there you go.
Even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.